Okay, so lots of stuff has happened
this week
while you've been laid up.
Since we haven't spoke.
I want to ask you first of all, and I know we've talked a lot about Hardwick, Damien Hardwick, and you know all the stuff there. But did that? I remember watching your little show, and we just looked up the date. It was May 1st,
yes.
And you actually flagged the idea. Not that Damien Hardwick was going to split.
No one saw him coming.
But he was going to resign. But about the decision that maybe he needed to make.
Yeah.
And you talked about Clarko staying on at Hawthorn and, you know, maybe when is the right time to leave a club, even though you've been a successful coach there.
That's right. At the time, he said no finals won after their last flag between the two coaches. So they coached their last premiership and then hadn't won a final after it. They missed finals altogether after the last flag. 2 years after the last flag, Hawthorn were 5-12. A year after the last final, Richmond at that stage were 1-7. So it was sort of pointing that way. And I was shocked and stunned like everyone when it was announced. But I think it's absolutely magnificent the way he did it. I absolutely endorse the whole way that it all unfolded.
Some people were saying, though, was he selfish for the way that he did it, like to walk out on them now?
No. I
don't think that, but no. What do you think?
No, I can understand why some people would be feeling that, but you then look back at what he's delivered and what he's been able to achieve. And at that time when we were discussing that, I was talking about how clubs and coaches and clubs are too embedded. Like they're too wedded to each other. And then when you look in the big picture, then you won't. If we had the capacity to look bigger picture, we wouldn't have all these situations where coaches coach for another year and then halfway through the year they go, oh, no, my time's up.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it was great. Cut it clean, and I would like to have seen him coach on the weekend for the Richmond fans.
Yeah.
But I get, you know, it sort of says a lot about Dimmer. You know, what the reasons he was in the game was for success for his club, not for pats on the back necessarily for himself. So he's off and gone.
I certainly didn't think that he did it for this reason, but I know how hard it is. I've spoken to Sheeds and over the years. You know, when you're coaching somebody for a long, long time, at some point you've got to have that terrible, uncomfortable conversation. You know what they've given to you as a coach, to their club. They've been part of a successful team, but you've got to then have that conversation about ending his career. And there's a couple of Richmond players that have been great, great players for the club who are coming towards the end of their career.
Yeah.
You know, Cochin and also Revolt and, you know, Dylan Grimes, you know, like over there. Do you think that factored in anywhere in his thinking, Damien Hardwick?
Not whatsoever. Because Revolt and Cochin are done, so that he's no decision to make there. He doesn't have to tap Jack Revolt or Trent Cochin on the shoulder. They're done. Dylan Grimes is committed.
But do you think they're done, though?
Yeah.
Do they think they're done?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, do you think that they've already had that conversation and they know that at the end of this year they're going?
As much, I don't know anything about anything, but I would say 99% certain that they're not playing next year. In fact, 100, I'll go 100.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, yeah, no, they're done.
So he may have already had that conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I think if you put the lasso of truth around them, they know exactly where they're at. So the one thing, you know, and this is where the Clarkson comparison is real, is that Clarkson stayed because he had this sense of, yeah, you know, commitment to O'Meara and Mitchell and the others that he's recruited, and in probably in the end stayed too long. I think by his own admission, said no, it was not misplaced, but the sense of loyalty probably did more harm than good. Damien might have looked at Trando and Hopper and said, "Well, I've got you here on the premise that we're going to, you know, build, and I'll be the coach." But nah, he did the right thing. He's done the right thing by himself. Done the right thing by the coach, as the players and the club. They now get on with the process of trying to replace him. Clear air.
And to that point, were you bemused by how many people in the media immediately thought about Hinkley being the replacement for Damien Hardwick at Richmond and the best candidate?
No, because this is where your mind goes to. And what I am interested, having just sat back for, you know, 4 or 5 days since it happened, and I haven't had to be anywhere so you can watch and read, is that it. And this is us, this is the media, this is what we do. It fuels all sorts of different scenarios. And in the process, it elevates coaches from where they're at to where they might be. It pushes other coaches away. Right. It's incredible. I think Ken Hinckley's done a great job. He's Norm Smith right now, Ken Hinckley. It's as if Ken Hinckley's coached the last 6 premierships. That's the buzz around Kenny now, because he's got his club going really well, which is what he's paid to do. I mean, that's the job for him. But now there's this vacancy. So, and I'm sitting there going, Kenny, I mean, there's a bloke called Craig McRae I mean, when you're going to look for a new coach, so they're going, oh, it's Hinkley or it's this, it's that. It was a bloke called Craig McRae who's walked in. Surely that when you're looking, and there's no one size fits all to replace a coach, right? But when you're looking at recent history, he had no previous history. He walked in and he turned a footy club on its head where it was 17th and is now on this sort of march to the grand final, maybe a premiership.
How big is the job then, the next coach who takes over at Richmond? And we talked about, and you know, during the week, you know, the pillars of your football club, you know, Peggy's gone, maybe Brendan Gale will go, your coach is gone, your great captain may be gone at the end of the year, along with him, Revold, who's been an unbelievable player, Dusty Martin, we don't know where he might be at the end of the year. How good is this job at Richmond then for a prospective coach?
Well, job's great because the club's great. This is a great football club of the AFL, Richmond, and they're in the heartland. They're in the heartland of the sporting precinct. They've got, you know, they've got their facilities sorted. You know, so that's, they've got a supporter base, the envy of most. So the job in that sense is enormous.
The talent at your disposal?
Yeah, I think there's work to be done there. I don't share some that suggest that they are going to be back contending for a premiership really quickly. I think they've got a bit of work to do on the rebuild.
I think in this game we underestimate, you know, when teams are successful, and we see that even with Hawthorn, you know, like the backbone of their team, you know, Hodge, Lewis, Mitchell, Roughhead. And then all the other guys are, you know, they've had some super players around that as well, Buddy as well. But I think we sometimes overlook that they actually had elite talent. Like they had, you know, in some cases, once in a generation type players that there were that formed the backbone. I think Richmond have had that as well. And you don't, you know, we know you don't replace players like that at that really pointy end of talent. No. You don't replace them overnight. They don't just turn up every year in the draft. I know you go to the draft and you get the best players available, but just because you get a number one draft pick, it doesn't necessarily mean that that number one draft pick is going to be comparable to the number one draft pick of, you know, 5 years ago.
And they're not getting a number one draft pick. They haven't even haven't even got a first round pick.
No, so this year. Yeah, so that makes their job even harder.
Yeah, and they would know that. I mean, that's why you win 3 premierships in 4 years. Yeah, when everything sort of comes together beautifully in the manner that it has. But now they've got to go back and sort that out. And I think that's great. I think they're going to be middle of the table. And so people then go, oh, well, you know, Collingwood came from 17th. Yeah, that's true. So a coach can come in and change things quickly. But when you look at what's happened at Collingwood now, they have got some of that generational talent running around. You know, Scott Penderbury's not Trent Cotchin. Scott Penderbury's still playing at the level, whereas Cotch has gone, you know, his magnificent career is coming to an end.
The stresses and the anxieties that are associated with coaching are there for every coach. It doesn't matter whether you're on the bottom of the ladder, you're on the top of the ladder, or wherever you might be. I mean, you feel defeats day in, day out as a coach. Should Stuart Dew be feeling less secure about his job today than what he was before Damien Hardwick announced that he was stepping aside?
Should he be feeling it? I don't know whether he should be, because I'm sure Mark Evans and everyone else is telling him exactly, you know, what he needs to hear, but the reality is he would be. No, I think he would be feeling less secure because, yeah, you've still got a 3-time premiership coach who's in the market, who's out on the market now, and he's coaching a team that has been, you know, promising a lot and delivering not much. So, of course, and that's unfair and it's sad, but this is the narrative. It goes over to Adam Simpson. I've been thinking a lot about Adam Simpson too.
Mm. In what way?
I don't think. What else?
Hey, just on that point, we heard Ryan Daniels over in WA, who reports for Channel 7, was saying that West Coast Eagles are giving him 3 months leave at the end of the year if he wants to take it and just go away and freshen up.
He might take long term. He might leave altogether. That's what he should do. I mean, I think that's almost.
Leave altogether?
I think that's the cleanest, clearest thing for him to do for the whole West Coast situation. That's when just sitting back and watching it.
Why?
Because he should leave. Well, in my opinion, he just should leave because there's. Is he going to bury himself now down back into that footy club and, you know, it's going to take 5 years for them to reemerge, right? Is he going to be there at the end of 5 years, Adam Simpson? I don't think so. He just should go to them, look, I've loved being here. I've done my best. I've delivered a premiership. You've been great for me. And they should say, yep, you're damn straight. You've been great for us and we love the relationship, but now I think it's time. That to me is the easiest of all the decisions to be made in the coaching landscape.
It appears they don't want to make that decision.
I don't blame Adam Simpson. We were critical of them early about the way they played and, modern footy, and they're a bit slow to react. But have a look at – it doesn't matter. You can put Damien Hardwick, Alistair Clarkson, and buddy, bring Ron Brassey back and throw him over there right now.
Right now you could, yeah. But do you think there's
That's not going to change him.
Do you think there's an element in all this too where they actually need a break from a coach, because you've had a coach there who's been there for a long period of time, won a premiership – probably, and you forge this relationship with players. Yeah, there's a lot of emotion that's attached within all that. We talked about that with Cochin and Hardwick before. You know, that same thing. You feel that, and within doing that, maybe you treat them kinder than what you should because of that emotional attachment.
Yeah, maybe, and a different lens comes in. But I just think for him and for the club, that is the best result, is at the end of the year, just shake hands and move on, because they've got – they got an enormous way to go.
Yeah.
Enormous way to rebuild and go. They can do that with another coach and not lose too much ground.
Can you see a world then in which Adam Simpson could be the coach of Richmond next year?
Yeah, possibly. I haven't even looked that far ahead.
I know we're speculating now, but if you're saying that he goes, then I would think that Adam Simpson at his age, given his CV, ends up somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. Sure. And this is not a crack at him per se, saying he's a hopeless coach, therefore he should leave. I just think that is the best thing for both club and coach. But then I'm saying, he would, sure. Of course he'd be looked at from the Richmond powers that be, but they would be looking at the McRae example. You'd have to.
Mm.
But then you'd also look at this and you'd look at that.
Well, they've got Minnie McWalter, who's going to coach for the rest of the year. And I just read what Barmy had to say about him. He said he's very, very similar to McRae. Yeah. Understated, humble, knows his footy, really bright, good people manager, gets on with people really well, doesn't take himself too seriously.
So just remember,
Barmy's been around a long time. When Barmy talks about people and his belief in, what characteristics they have that are going to suit a successful coach, we should listen to him.
Think about who's saying those words and the success that he's had in identifying people to take clubs to where they need to go. That means that McWalter needs to be considered, 100%. We'll come back with more after this.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Apparently on the West Coast Twitter, reports that senior coach Adam Simpson has been asked to take a 3-month break at the end of the season are inaccurate. No such discussion has taken place. That's from the West Coast Eagles.
That's according to the West Coast Eagles. Joe's in Point Cook. He wants to talk about the Damien Hardwick decision. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. How are you going there today?
Excellent.
That's good. Do you reckon now Hardwick, with the decision made, he's actually set a precedent for all these quality coaches? Like, he's seen Clarko possibly overstayed his stay, Bucks overstayed his stay. Do you think now Simpson's overstayed his stay, so that's why he's in that predicament? So Hardwick's seen it and he's like, I don't want to go down that track. Like, what he's left behind for the Tigers is absolutely amazing. So he's finished basically on top with good memories, good laughs, instead of the media hounding him, unfortunately, constantly, is it time for him to go? Do you reckon he's actually set a precedent for future coaches to actually leave on top? Or it's basically,
I don't know, Joe. I don't know whether it's going to be a precedent. I think, and even just reading this Conrad Marshall article in The Age, and he talked about how many times during the time that he'd been associated with Damien Hardwick, he talked about the idea of being able to go to the Greek islands during their summer. Okay, so he looks at the situation he's in now and he thinks, okay, well, if I coach out the rest of the year, I haven't got it. I haven't got the fire in my belly to do it. If I coach out the rest of the year, I still aren't going to be able to take a break that I would love to be able to take and restock and reset myself as an individual and go back to coaching. If I go now, I can do that.
Yeah.
It won't surprise me if we read that he's gone away over to Europe for, 3 months or whatever.
Ooh.
But it just gives him an opportunity to refresh.
And we don't
clear his head, come back and have another crack at it.
That he's had with Brendan Gale is that what I read over the last few days is that he said to Brendan, you know, I'll sign another contract, but I'll tell you this, is when the fire goes out, the fire will go out, and I'll be telling you that's what I'm going.
Yeah.
And that would, it's as simple as that for me. So
the fire to you, though, is the fire gone out for coaching, or is the fire out for coaching this group of players at Richmond?
Yeah, and is it, we know, you look at it, history, your man Kevin Sheedy is one who defied history in that he kept, you know, staying and kept being reinvent, da, da, da. 10 years, 10 years. God, he's been there for 13 or so. And that's why we talked about that when we did 3 weeks ago. Clarkson, he, Kenny, will get to that stage. Simo's been there a long time.
Yeah. There's very few coaches, though, that get the opportunity.
Go out on their terms.
To go out on their terms with the understanding and the knowledge that they'll be able to reemerge maybe at their choosing.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So we'll do Billy and then we'll move on to a couple other things. Go, Bill.
Yeah, morning, gents. Yeah, Gary, I know you have a close relationship with Adam Ouse through Melbourne, but has he missed the boat? He just seems always to just miss out. Do you think he'll put his hand up again, or do you think he actually will get picked somewhere?
Yeah, I think he wants to be a senior coach, Billy. So that would be a good job to take if he was able to get an interview there and was able to get that. That would be a good job. He came awfully close. Which was the job he came? Adelaide, was it Adelaide? I think it was the Adelaide Crows, wasn't it?
Essendon.
No, GWS.
Essendon he was. He was down to the last two at Essendon.
And GWS. There was talk that he'd even got it, and Adam Kingsley sort of snuck under and pinched it. So, yeah, I think he wants to be a career coach, Billy, so he will put his hand up, and he hasn't lost any any credibility by staying at Melbourne and being the assistant coach there.
Just ask you a question about Melbourne too. Obviously, they lost their last game, but they didn't lose badly, but they now have lost a really important player in their midfield, Clayton Oliver, for we don't know how long, maybe two, maybe three, maybe a month. They've got a bye in there somewhere. They've got a really tough month of football ahead of them too, their next four opponents. How do you reckon they're travelling at the moment?
I think this is really interesting with the Oliver out. He would have been in their best three players for 5 years, week in, week out, Clayton Oliver. Mm. And I wondered this when I was watching him against Port Adelaide, because Port Adelaide belted them for all but 20 minutes, right? Mm. And the player who was so quiet for all but that 20 minutes was Christian Petrarca, right? So then, Gorn had a quiet game.
Mm.
Oliver did what Oliver did. Petrarca, Viney was quiet. Lever was quiet. So all of a sudden, Petrarca comes alight for 20 minutes. You know, they kick 7 goals, get themselves back in the game, and then it's gone again. Can you get, when you got these, what we call generational talent, so you know, Oliver, Gorn, Petrarca, they're going to go down as three of the all-timers at Melbourne.
Yeah.
They've relied on them. When I say relied on them, they've gone out and just done what they've done. They've been the best three players nearly every single week. When they're not playing well now, have they been so good for so long that the bottom, or not the bottom, the rest haven't been able to sort of develop and pick up the slack, which is the challenge now for this weekend.
Yeah. Are the rest good enough?
Well, let's find out. You see, they are good enough because they won a premiership. But I reckon over the last year and a half, they've been driven along by these blokes at the top end, and maybe subconsciously or subliminally they sit back and go, oh, well, Max will do it, or Track will do it, or Clary will do it. Well, it's not enough. It's not enough to have those blokes playing week in, week out at the level they are, and they still, you can't win a premiership. You need more from the rest. And I reckon that's where they're at right now. They're not getting enough from the rest.
We've seen Port Adelaide now on two occasions go after Max Gorn. What is it that they think about Max Gorn, do you think? Why do they think that they can unsettle him? No other club goes after him. I haven't seen any other team go after Max Gorn that Port Adelaide have gone after him. And again, they had Butters going up to Maxi Gorn at the weekend and bumping him.
Yeah. Oh, they clearly think that they can diminish his response. Well, he's not. If you're suggesting, is he weak or soft or anything like that?
Well, why do they think that?
I think they've tried to wear him down physically. Just wear him down physically, wear him down physically, try and take his focus away from doing whatever he wants. Max is one of the most dominant players in the competition when he does what he wants. That is, run to where he wants, stand where he wants, mark the ball where he wants. So they did that. They took him away. He's where he wanted to run, and they also kicked the ball around him.
And so do you think it was just physical? It wasn't a mental thing that they were attacking him?
No, I think it was all of it.
All
mental,
of it.
Physical.
Do you think they got to him?
He did. Well, he didn't. It certainly, he didn't have the influence because they were able to bypass him. And the other stuff, who knows how physically draining it is to have 18 other blokes bumping into you all day long.
When we come back, I know we need to take a break. There's a couple of calls online there too. But when we come back, I want to ask you a question about the Bulldogs, right? Because we actually haven't spoken about them seriously at any point, you and I anyway, about them being a contender for the flag. I'm really interested to think now whether or not you feel that they've moved up into that echelon. Go, Bulldogs!
Jeff's on the road. Hello, Jeffrey.
G'day, Tim. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Good, Jeff.
Hey, just about Adam Simpson, I think you're on the money there, Gary, because you think now he is the longest-serving coach at West Coast. So he's been there longer than Woosha, he's been there longer than Mick. And the fact of the matter is, up until Monday night, they really didn't have an option. And I keep hearing that we're the richest club in Australia, most members. Surely if anybody can write a cheque to Damien Hardwick, it's West Coast.
Yeah, well, when you've won three flags, you're going to get linked to every single job in the competition, probably. So
they are loaded too, aren't they?
They are.
They are loaded.
So Adam's contracted till the end of 25.
Yeah.
So
I'll pay that out. Bang.
Yeah, but that goes into your soft cap and.
Well, you do come to some sort of agreement. If that was the case, if they moved on that, and there was the case, you have an agreement, he goes somewhere. Like we sort of know how that works. Just on the Bulldogs, though, are they a sort of like
sneaky?
Not a slow burn, like
sneaky.
They had to sort of find their groove as a team. They started the year sort of disjointed, and there was a lack of connection. They're still trying to work out which pieces are going to fit best for their team and their talent, that type of thing. Do you think they're one of those teams? And we've seen this in the past where teams just sort of, not that they sneak up on you, but they just get progressively better the longer the season goes.
They've been magnificent the last 2 months.
They look tight.
Yep. Yeah. Liam Jones. Yeah. Isn't that a funny, when you think of all the talent at the Western Bulldogs, and then the first name I bring up is Liam Jones. Because he gets, the back line's been a concern, one-on-one defending's been a concern for a long period of time, and he slots straight back in there, available to everyone, and just shores them up.
He did. And, you know, just listening, I know you didn't listen to the Alex Rance interview yesterday, but it was just interesting, you know, just sort of talking about the line of what they did and the alignment they had with the players out on the ground. This was where he had to get his reference point from playing that defensive role.
Yep.
You know, and Revold had to be in a position, then Cochin had to be in a position, and then he took his positioning from where Cochin was in the midfield, right? Yep. So he had to be he had to be 75 metres away from where the ball was. And I raise that point because I think, you know, Jones and what they're doing defensively, I think he's starting to do that too. You see him coming off his man at the right time, influencing play, that type of thing. It looks like there's always been a knock on the Bulldogs, particularly over the last couple of years, that maybe defensively that's where you can get them. You know, you can get in there quickly, get the ball in there. They're going to be they're not going to be hard to play against one-on-one as defenders. But I think there's more steel and more organisation and more talent in their back six than what maybe they've had for a while.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Bevo's coaching beautifully and they get the job done. So we'll watch. They've got some challenges coming up, I'm sure. But here we go. I don't even know why I ask. Seven of eight.
Yeah.
Only lost to Port over there. So if Kenny Inkley's the new Norm Smith, then Bevo must be the new Kevin Sheedy.
So we've got six.
Are you proud of yourself?
We've got the Cats, the D's, Port, Lions, Dogs and Pies, all capable of winning the flag this year.
How many you got?
I got six.
You got, say again?
Cats,
yep.
D's, Port, Lions, Dogs, Pies.
Who's out?
Can you think of anyone else?
I haven't given it that much thought, but
Adelaide?
No, not this
year.
Too
early?
Not too early for me. The Pies are out in front. The Pies, they blow me away, the Pies.
Yeah.
They've blown everyone away. They are way, way out in front.
I don't think they are. But I don't think
round 10.
I don't think they're as far out in front as what you think. I think they're not that far out in front. No.
I don't know.
But we can have a big argument about that another time if you want.
I haven't got the energy.